Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Branding Brews. I'm your host, Ryan Wheaton. I am owner of Craft Brew Creative, which is a branding and design studio currently based out of Portland, Oregon. I work with mostly small breweries and help them develop branding and do can labels, packaging, all sorts of that fun stuff. Back again with another episode. Today, I'm super excited to be joined by John Dispenza and Harrison Hickok. They both work at Untappd, and they're also the host of the Untappd podcast, Drinking Socially. How's it going, guys?
Great. I'm doing fantastic. It's another lovely day as we're recording this. North Carolina is about to get hit with a hurricane, but that's kind of standard, par for the course. Other than that, excited to talk about beer and Untappd and all those fun things. How about you, John? How you doing over there?
Yeah, I can't. It's exciting to hear another person's voice. I couldn't echo your sentiment more, Ryan. It's great to kind of get together with someone else that podcasts as frequently as you do. So I'm excited to hear where this conversation goes.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's always fun to be able to talk with another podcast host and kind of get together like this. So I'd love to give some background behind each of you. So what are your roles and kind of history at Untappd?
So I began at Untappd after being a user, right? I've been a fan of the app since I first was trying to keep up with all the beers, right? And I was fortunate in that Untappd had just recently gotten acquired by a Wilmington company in Wilmington, North Carolina, where I lived. So it took a few applications, but finally they let me come and interview for a sales job, which was really early on. It was kind of the beginning of what we now know as like a verified location on Untappd, where they have a beer menu. And it's been 4 years. I've kind of grown and watched the company grow along with that. My role went from sales to trying to pay more attention to the way Untappd works with beer festivals. And then Harrison and I had our own podcast at the time. So Untappd, you know, just kind of said, hey, would you guys want to fill in for season number 2? And we were fortunate enough to just carry that right over to season number 3. I credit all of our success to Harrison's laugh. What's your story at Untappd, Harrison?
Yeah, right. It all starts with a laugh. It'll probably showcase itself a lot today as it's already done uncontrollably. But for me, yeah, before Untappd, so I've been there about 4 years too. John started like a month before I did. So very similar experiences and seeing a lot of the same things happen. But before that, I worked as a brewer for about 8 years first in Connecticut, my home state of Connecticut, and then in Philadelphia before moving down to Wilmington for Untappd as I'm a senior account executive, which means I talk to bars and restaurants and breweries all day about how to use Untappd for business. And when I'm not doing that, John and I are getting together talking about beer and doing the Drinking Socially podcast. So it's definitely kind of living and breathing Untappd. I always make the joke of, you know, working Untappd all day. And then we go home and we see everyone, all of our colleagues on Untappd checking in their beers. So there really is no off switch. It's, I guess it kind of speaks to how fun the app is. Even when you look at it all day, you're still kind of like, gotta get that badge.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the badges and the whole like gamification seem to definitely be like a successful element of yes. Untappd. Yeah, it definitely kind of seems to keep people in and using it.
Yeah, a lot of stories, a lot of people traveling far and wide to get badges, and we've heard some really cool ones and stuff over the years, but yes, it is for sure. Before I worked on Untappd, I also used it just as a user, and I have no shame in admitting that the badges kind of kept me coming back. It definitely worked before I even realized what was actually this gamification was happening. I was like, yeah, I got to take a picture of this beer. So I level up the photogenic brew badge. It was this internal monologue that naturally kind of showed up when I started using Untappd, and it definitely works.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. So I wanted to get your opinion, and on your show for the show page for season 3, you mentioned being able to admire so many of the beer label art, that is out there. So I thought being appropriate for this show, that I would love to get your take on, you know, like what makes for a successful beer label. I'm sure you've seen a lot of beer labels working in Untappd, you know, people that check them in and all that.
Sure. Yeah. So, man, that like it's, I'll try not to talk too long about it because I feel like I write a book about it, but really I kind of almost see it as almost two different worlds where there's the beer label that like tells a story, whether it's something like Burials that's like kind of, you know, some wolf with seven heads and a bunch of swords and flames and stuff, and it's like, what is this? Where's the complimentary heavy metal album that goes with this? Tell me more about what I'm looking at. Like, and they have, of course, going along with that, have the really cool sometimes like story, like kind of almost narrative descriptions they'll give with those beers. So that's like a experience when I drink that beer. It's, you know, it's visual. There's this kind of narrative thing happening. I'm obviously drinking the beer. So that is like a thing that a lot of breweries do something similar to. I think Burial does a really good job of it, where this, it's like this piece of art. Absolutely. That you can't be denied. There's also other breweries that have like this really, I guess I would almost call it like a classic approach, or like where it's very centered around the label and the label art. There are a couple of breweries in town that do this really well, and they'll maybe have like a very a uniform label that maybe the color is different for each beer or the writing is different, but a lot of similarities, and that looks really clean. Like that'll grab my eye off a shelf. Because it's recognizable, the font's always the same, logo layout always the same. Maybe the color's different, and maybe I haven't had that IPA that's yellow from the sky, and I see it pop up on the shelf, and I'm like, oh, I want to check that out. So there's kind of different things, whether I'm like at home enjoying it or like on the shelf trying to decide what to get, and that label is that first impression that catches my eye that that I think go into making a good label. And, you know, again, what is good is obviously debatable, but for me, there's like always kind of two things I'm looking for. Is what can tell me something wild and to get my brain kind of in that kind of, I guess, fun part of it that's trying to enjoy whatever this image is. And the other side of it is like, what's something that's very crisp and clean that I recognize maybe that, but it's slightly different color, different, whatever it is that maybe is telling me this is a different beer from a brewery I know, but I haven't had yet. And again, those are the two kind of worlds I see most often when it comes to label art. And they both get my attention, but maybe for slightly different reasons. John, what do you think, man?
So I'm not even close to an expert in this field, other than I've bought a lot of beer off of a shelf and stocked a lot of beer on a shelf.
Right.
I would say, to put it kind of blankly, a good label is one that gets my attention and that makes me buy the beer. That's a cop-out answer, but more recently I was in the store looking for some beer for an upcoming podcast, and to be honest, just for the weekend, and there was a beer label design that looked exactly like a pack of Marlboro Lights. And I'm assuming they're going to get a cease and desist soon. But in the meantime, it was like an instant connection. You know, I saw the label and there was some nostalgia there, you know, reminds me of growing up.
Right.
And that was enough to break my concentration from, you know, here's all the Wicked Weeds, here's all the Trogues, and then what the heck is this? You know, so it won. I bought that beer, and I think that's successful. Not to get too maybe psychological, but I think Burial, to Harrison's point, does a great job of that. Their label art is like, it's a free tattoo design. I follow David Paul Seymour on Instagram because he does most of their artwork. And I think in any way, I think a good label gets your attention.
Yeah, definitely. The craft shelves are kind of a bit of like the Wild West, you know. There have been some studies done trying to kind of discover what the craft consumers are interested in buying. And what I think what came out of this was kind of just like, you know, like, we don't know. you know, everyone can have different tastes. It could be the day of the week. It'd be the color. It could, you know, it could like not be the color.
That sounds accurate.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. I mean, so obviously with that said, you know, there are things you can do to be seen on the shelf. Yeah. You know, that the label can be read easily. those kind of things can, you know, from a design perspective, what, you know, is what makes a good design is that it's readable, right?
Yeah.
And just throwing that out there so I don't talk myself out of work because everyone's like, oh, who cares? It doesn't matter, you know? But, you know, so that's one of the challenging things is, you know, trying to like do those studies on what consumers want and what they want to buy, you know, is it's so challenging because things can be so different,
yeah.
You know, from day to day, from what the customer wants to buy.
I couldn't just, I think it matters entirely. A conversation Harrison and I were just having recently was kind of the difference between, you know, like a brand for your brewery and a brand for, maybe you just pick like, you know, your particular beer that you want to throw your marketing dollar behind. New Belgium's Voodoo Ranger, I thought was a great example of that, where yes. Voodoo Ranger is like as much of a brand as New Belgium is. And I think it's brilliant that they do that.
Yep. Yeah. And that kind of was built, you know more about this than I do, John, but that was kind of built from like them getting feedback from consumers of like, what do you like? What's interesting to you? And it kind of skewed heavily towards, this is early the Voodoo Ranger days of Voodoo Ranger is cool with, he's a skeleton guy and what, that's interesting. And then, and now there's like 10 different kinds of Voodoo Ranger. And they, like John said, it's kind of become its own. Used to be New Belgium was the Fat Tire brewery. And people would say, yeah, I'm having a beer from Fat Tire. And what they meant was they're having a Fat Tire from New Belgium. And now it's like, I'm having a Voodoo Ranger. And like, that's, that, as John said, it's its own thing, almost separate from New Belgium, but they, that's a cool example of them getting feedback and saying, okay, well, let's see where this rabbit hole goes. And now we're, yeah, right, a dozen or so different Voodoo Rangers later, and they're all really cool and interesting and different. And but still have that skeleton guy wearing some goofy outfit on the label art of it.
Yeah, sometimes it takes being around long enough to establish some sort of unique, like, individual brand like that, right? You know, like Firestone Walker.
Yeah,
Firestone Walker has like 805.
Mm-hmm.
Some newer breweries, you know, they want to establish that core flagship beer, but you just never really know how well it's going to do until you get out into the market. So it's like, it's one of those things where you have to get it out there and just kind of see what sticks. You know, it's just, everyone, I think sometimes want, not everybody, but you know, want to have that flagship, but you can, until you get into the market, you don't really know exactly. So I'm curious to hear the different ways that breweries are using Untappd to market their breweries. Are there any like creative ways that breweries have been using Untappd?
Well, here goes the next 60 minutes. I'll begin with kind of the way I look at this, and Harrison's probably going to be able to shed more light on it because I think actively he's talking to more people than I am day to day right now. But like the way I kind of look at Untappd for a brewery is, I mean, if you're making and you're selling beer, you're going to have an Untappd profile created because someone's going to check in that beer. Doesn't matter if you're on an island outside of Greece or right in Detroit, someone's going to check into that beer. So your first kind of impetus is, you know, just control that because it's an extension of your brand. And if you do nothing more, you know, put a label on there and use it as a way to interact with people. Just describe, you know, we used Galaxy Hops in this and give them a little information. But where it becomes more and more important or even just opportunistic for a brewery, we've seen kind of Untappd, you have a whole bunch of bars and restaurants, beer-focused bars and restaurants that will utilize Untappd to promote their beer menu. And if you're a brewery and you don't have kind of a clear picture of the beers you've created on Untappd, it's affecting, I don't want to say it's affecting distribution, but when that beer buyer is being pitched four different, you know, West Coast style IPAs that are almost indifferent to them, a lot of times they're going to go to Untappd and look, maybe not, you know, maybe ratings, maybe photos, maybe what their friends thought. But I think that's where a lot of breweries kind of overlook the importance, especially self-distributing breweries, of the other end of where that beer buyer is using Untappd almost as an information resource. So that's something that I think gets overlooked maybe the most. That's probably not where I should have began. So Harrison, can you help me out?
Well, yeah, when, I mean, right, you're right. 60 minutes. That's being optimistic. But I'll try and hit the highlights, and we'll stay high level. Yeah, John, everything you said obviously is absolutely correct. What I when it comes to like breweries and opportunities and the way they kind of use it a little bit differently, maybe even just now, like as we're kind of sitting here in a quarantine, it's all about great. I can't go into my favorite brewery anymore as a customer. That's a bummer, but in many ways, but I want to engage with them still. How can I do that? Well, Untappd now becomes your virtual tap room as a brewery, where I can go to the brewery and grab beer to go or have it delivered to my house or whatever that brewery is doing, and go check it in on Untappd and go jump on their page and see that my buddy across town just had it too and he liked it, and I'm commenting on his photo, and you as a brewer can look at that and go, this is great. People are digging the new dry hop of this IPA, and look at all the people that had it, and that beer that we just released is this batch of it's doing better than ever before. So there's like this kind of, I guess you like a three-dimensional, I guess space you can enter inside Untappd where you're learning about your customers, about how they perceive your beer, about where they drink it. This is the best pool beer I've ever had. This is my go-to grilling beer for the summer. Like all these kind of anecdotes you can pull from it that you always could. But now that, again, we're, you know, not interacting a lot of places one-on-one and going into breweries and experiencing that stuff face-to-face, it's been really interesting and hearing from breweries that they are grateful that Untappd is this place that exists that people can all still interact with, and it kind of becomes a virtual tap room that it's always been there, but now it may be the only tap room you're able to visit, and it can be a lot of fun, and a lot of them are really taking that in stride, and whether it's toasting more comments or check-ins and commenting more on brewery check-ins and stuff. And I saw a fair amount of them will run contests on their Facebook page saying we're going to pick the best photos from your Untappd check-ins and pick five of them, and those people win a free growler this week or something like that. So they're really kind of just leaning into this community that's always existed and been there. Maybe some of them now more than ever, and that's been heartwarming to see, and just very interesting how, you know, when this all happened in March, you know, we were all kind of adjusting as everybody else was, and to see how a lot of breweries pivoted on their own and seeing how they thought of Untappd and how the things it could solve and do for them in this new world, it was amazing. I mean, I'd be lying if I said we didn't learn from our partners in the beginning. We didn't have a secret playbook. We were in the back room waiting for this moment. It was, what are you guys doing out there? How can we help? And from that kind of built this new ways of using Untappd in the world we're living in today. And it's been very collaborative, and you know, as most collaborative things are, that's been really just rewarding to be a part of that and just kind of hear what's happening out there and know that Untappd is an app that you can use a bunch of different ways. And there is, you know, there are very few parameters here. You know, you can get creative with it as a brewery and use your events to tell people that we have curbside pickup today. And that has an audience now of beer fans looking for a place they can get beer to go. And knowing as a brewery that the right people are going to see that message. That's one example or a couple, I guess, but yeah, it's been great.
So you mentioned that, there's like, you can run kind of promotions, and breweries will like maybe having like photos where the drinkers will submit photos and interact with them on Untappd. There's I'm sure going to be an interaction between beer drinkers on other social platforms like Facebook or Instagram that, you know, customers are also using alongside of Untappd. Have you seen any kind of like interesting cases where breweries have used other social networks alongside of Untappd in some way?
I think from where I'm coming, especially like, I think it's impossible not to talk about COVID anymore, but to Harrison's earlier point, early on March, April, May, I was kind of reaching out to a lot of the businesses that were already working with us at Untappd. And that point, it's always kind of, I feel weird addressing that because, you know, Instagram's maybe the second or third most popular social media. It's like, 1 in 5 people in the U.S. have an Instagram account, or probably more. So it's kind of awkward to kind of say, hey, you know, push those people into Untappd it's an awkward ask when we're working together. But once I get past that, then the conversation, it's awesome to watch that kind of blossom and see what type of things do you have available to you when you're directly in touch with your customer base on Untappd. From a high level, I think it's just, there's less distractions. It's an app, it's social media, but its only existence is for craft beer, however you want to air quotes that. But where it becomes really handy now is, I would argue, since the first brewer ever, maybe not the first brewer, but like the first professional brewer started making and selling beer, maybe your best source of feedback is to talk to that person on the other side of the bar. What do you think? How do you, you know, what could I have done better? And get that feedback so that you can continue making a beer that your customers like more. During COVID, with that absence of that kind of taproom conversation, kind of looking for ways to connect with your customers right on Untappd is, I think it's incredibly valuable, as Harrison kind of pointed out, with like the idea of a virtual tap room. Not every Untappd user is a BJCP judge, right? They're not all Cicerones. I'm sure that's like stapled on every brewer's like list of things that they dislike about Untappd. And there's nothing I don't think I could ever do to fix it. But if 1,000 people can give you feedback on, you know, on your beer, you're free to dismiss 100 of the bad ones and 100 of the good ones and just read that middle of the line and get an idea for what do people think about this. Because, you know, Untappd users or not, it's a great feedback loop. And I would argue a really good audience to pay attention to in that regard. I think I skirted your question of linking Instagram and Untappd together in such a way, but
the one that jumps out to mind a lot, and John kind of touched on this, are like the visibility you have into that feedback from your customers inside Untappd, and then what you can kind of do with it. So for example, I've seen a fair amount of online stores, and that's another thing. Probably March and April, I set up, I don't know how many online stores a day of either bottle shops who didn't have one, but now needed to have a way for people to order beer online, or breweries need to build an online store so people could buy beer online, kind of helping either our current partners or new businesses do that really early on, almost overnight. For a lot of places, just pivoted and had to do it. They would use a lot of the that information to kind of help guide for bottle shops like beer buying decisions. Okay, our customers or the people near me love IPAs or they love stouts, or our customers really respond high, you know, in a great way to Rausch beers. We only have one of them. Let's get 10 more of those things in here so we can have what they want. So, you know, taking that information you're seeing and move it beyond anecdotal of this guy liked it, this guy didn't, but overall 80% of our customers like this style, where you can actually start making some decisions from it. So that's really cool. And then you can flip that into your Instagram or your Facebook and make a post of like, hey, thanks for, you know, supporting us this past month. Here are the top 5 beer styles that you guys bought from us. It looks like you really love Imperial Stouts. We're going to have, you know, 5 more next month. Check out our store to see what's coming on in. So at that moment, you're hitting some maybe a larger audience, depending on where you are and how you're set up on Facebook, with cool information on Untappd, and at the same time making people that follow you on Untappd and Facebook feel like they're part of a bigger experience. If every check-in is now not just a check-in in a vacuum, it's kind of contributing to the beers that this place you love, Joe's Bottle Shop, is highlighting next month to everybody else. And now you're kind of, you're part of something a little bit larger than just, again, just a check-in that you see and your friends see. You're kind of helping build a consensus, which can be kind of interesting, and if not in a nerdy way, but I find it kind of interesting to kind of propel that. And I've seen plenty of businesses, right, kind of use the, I guess, like hyper-targeted information they get from Untappd, and then use that on a cast a broader net with it, get into a different audience, or maybe and enticing people as a way of just another place to engage them on Untappd. Because like we kind of been talking about, for me, I check Untappd and Instagram. I have a Twitter, I have a Facebook, all that stuff. But my go-tos, for whatever reason, are Instagram and Untappd. And so that's where I like to engage with brands and biz I like online. So if you're a business, you should, I mean, it's in your best interest to kind of go where the people are. And if it's, if they're on Instagram and Untappd or Instagram and Facebook, it's obviously cross-promoting and it has its benefits, but, we see that, we see it a lot. And actually Untappd for business is integrated. So for that exact reason, where as a business owner, you can make a post, to your Untappd page and it also posts out to your Facebook and your Twitter and can update menus on your website. So we see the, obviously the value of these other platforms and being able to, wherever beer fans are, make sure they see you guys just made a new beer.
So you mentioned the connection from Untappd to a website. And I mean, I know being someone who designs and update websites that there's always a challenge of keeping a website up to date. So are there any other ways that Untappd currently does or maybe has planned to in the future that would help breweries connect their beer menus to their websites?
So from what I like, from what I see us doing right now, I think your point is exactly true. My background in beer sales before I was at Untappd, there was always kind of a battle where, you know, I want to let people know the beer I have for sale as soon as possible, because sometimes that's the most, you know, exciting beer you can get that's just landed in the city that I distribute in or whichever. So that getting that information out was always such a difficulty, whether you're a beer distributor or a bottle shop owner. I mean, sometimes it would be an email newsletter or sometimes it would literally be a text message. Hey, I finally got that double bock from Germany. Are you still in the area? So one of the things I think, to your point about, you know, having a brewery website that is, no matter what, a pain in the butt to keep up to date when you're kicking out a brand new beer every week, using Untappd is kind of like the linchpin in between, or hinge, the connection in between allows, when I see it work really well, it's a brewery. And, you know, here's our 10 taps that we have available right now. And you publish it on Untappd and it simultaneously updates your website. And then if you get creative, you can kind of create, you know, here's what's in the bright tank or here's what's coming up. So you can kind of build a little bit of anticipation on that website as well. And what works, the reason, I mean, I love checking in and keeping track of all the beers I drank. I work at Untappd, so I'm kind of biased, but the reason it's so active on my phone is because the minute, you know, a brewery drops off a brand new 4-pack at a local bottle shop, my phone just lights up and tells me, you know, here's a brand new Keller beer just landed. So it makes my life as a beer consumer really easy. And the brewery, you know, all they do is they just move that beer from in the bright tank to on tap or available in a 4-pack. And those push notifications kind of generate on their own just based on nearby users and beer interest. And for that, for me, it makes Untappd a really valuable asset because I never want to go back to, you know, driving to 6 bottle shops to see if they still have that limited, you know, spicy chili stout that just got released. I want to know about it. I want to make life easy and just go pick it up.
Another point that came up in thinking about topics for this discussion was the idea of beer menus inside of the tap room. I've had discussions with other designers and breweries that like say that they'll never have a TV or a digital menu on their wall. They want something that is like hand-drawn chalk or something that's tactile that has like feeling to it, you know, like as opposed to a screen. Now, of course, there's a downside to that. Right. I mean, there's the amount of time it takes to draw up a beer menu or costs in printing custom menus. So, I mean, that is cool, but it could be a lot of work. So digital beer menus obviously have some appealing advantages. Have you created or seen any ways that users have been able to like create appealing digital beer menus that aren't maybe just like a plain font on a screen?
Right. Yeah, I mean, so I have that conversation all day, almost every day with the breweries I talk to. It's or have it a lot. So forgive me to try to distill 4 years of that conversation in a soundbite, but what usually ends up happening are a couple of different things. First of all, you're right. Like, I'll almost say the exact thing you just did to breweries of like, if you don't want, I'll show them our digital board of here's two columns, here are the logos, here are the beers, here's the fonts, put your logo back there. Looks great. But if you don't want something that looks like, you know, Galaga or a video game, like just kind of, you can, we have all these stylized templates too. One of them looks like the inside of like an oak barrel, some of like cutting boards. So there is like a lot of customization in our digital boards now where they don't need to look like a TV with a bunch of stuff on it. You can put your logos in there, your branding, your fonts, all that other stuff. And then even use our API to do even more. If you have a graphic designer and they want to get in there and have a lot of fun and build them out even more than they are out of the box, you can do that on Untapperbiz, which is really neat. So you do have a lot of flexibility, both out of the box to the custom features that are already there, and then the ability to customize them even further, which is great. And kind of once we have that conversation, then one or two things happen. It's, oh, this is awesome. I can't wait to show it to my developer. He's going to love it. And then great, off to the races. Or it's the other conversation of, yeah, this isn't our thing or whatever. And that's great. Like, there is no like incentive for us to have every brewery in the world have a digital board. That's not how Untapperbiz works. We really do want to fit into whatever your brand is, and have it make sense. Like, Untapp should be complementary. It should be integrated into what your workflow already is and be, add to someone's experience, not be something that stands out in a weird way. But you kind of bring up a good point of like, oftentimes, so if Brewery B is like, yep, this is all great, I don't want digital boards, but let's get on, I need my menus online, let's get on tap set up. Inevitably, and I don't have like a hard figure here, I'll say anecdotally low that maybe like 30 to 40% of those breweries will come back a couple months later and be like, either A, we're so busy now, we need a digital menu, or for some other reason, they just now want one. They saw one somewhere else and it looked really cool, or let one off of, we just added a patio and could put we don't want to have two chalkboards someone's updating all day, so we're going to put a TV outside. And there becomes like a logistical use for it where mechanically it makes sense, where a couple months ago, they didn't see that. And often, I mean, that's with any biz, right? With growth, a lot of times it's new breweries that are just opening that are, as you just said, they're, you know, spending time pulling honeycombs out of beehives and they're writing their beer names on that. And that's exciting and beautiful and great. And then by beer number 50, they're like, holy cow, there are no more honeycombs and we got to do something different. And it's just like, right, like again, the business side of it kicks in. And you're like, awesome, my tavern manager is already doing 20 things. Let's not make harvesting bees be one of them. Let's set up a digital board with Untapped. And so, and that's great. Like, and it's, and that happens a lot. It happens so often where I'll hear from a brewery a couple months later of like, hey, tell me how to turn on the digital menu. It definitely makes sense now. And that's, it's great to see, great to know that we've always had that. And it's always been one of our like most, I guess, popular features. A lot of times since it's visual, of course, we'll have businesses call us and they'll start the conversation with, hey, I saw one of your digital boards somewhere. What is Untapped? Tell me what are you guys? Tell me more about what's happening here. And that's like how they learn about us. Which again, it makes sense, but, kind of rambling now, John, do you have any, or yeah, what, yeah, any other insights?
Those are such a tough conversation when, you know, you get a call from that kind of beer focused restaurant that saw Untapped as the TV menu people. And then you kind of have to wheel it back in. It's, well, there's right. Also other stuff that, but yeah, the TV menus, when we started doing those, I'm going to say 3 years ago, maybe even almost four now, it was probably the most people were seeing Untapped, you know, unless your buddy's next to you at the bar and check in with me and that sort of thing. But ways I've seen people use it creatively, you know, like Harrison pointed out, there's a lot of pre-made templates and then you can really get granular and customize them. And it's ultimately, if there's a value in them, it gives you 20 minutes back. So you don't have to, you know, get a handwritten chalkboard done on a Friday night because you just kicked two kegs. It's the main win, I think, is time saving, or at least that's, you know, once you've been using it for a while, it's hard to go back to hand drawing your menus. And you can, you know, we've had businesses use these. I've seen festivals use them on a giant projector, or even sometimes, you know, bars and restaurants or a beer garden put a projector outside and you'll display, you know, of course, your untapped beer menu. But you can put, you know, there's businesses that'll do like pizza by the slice and sandwiches mixed in on there, or you might have it kind of rotate from here's our beer menu, and then you'll put a picture of the band that's coming back when bands used to be able to come and, you know, follow us on Facebook. So it's done well, I think, is a great way to market to the people that are already in your establishment. And not just, you know, don't think of it as just a beer menu, but a way to kind of create a loyal customer because of all the information you're able to give them with not so much more than just a few taps on your cell phone to keep it updated. That being said, you know, a sign glued to a piece of wood with Mod Podge and, you know, yeah, there's an aesthetic there that's irreplaceable. It's just, I think, a trade-off between, you know, that amazing menu, which you'll never forget, that took 3 hours to make, and something that took almost no time at all to keep updated. That's probably the trade-off that I think most people are battling with in measuring whether they want to use a digital menu or not.
QR codes. Do you have a feature where customers can create those touchless menu links?
Yeah. So yeah, Untappd is QR compatible. See, there's plenty of free QR code generators out there, and you can make one that points to your Untappd page, your website that will now have your Untappd menu on it with all your food and beer and all that cool stuff that you can add to your Untappd menu builder. So that's been right now. Most conversations I have are, let's get you set up with a QR code and a digital menu. And it's, if they're not doing it already, they're looking into it, or they saw some of the QR code. So that's been, and we've always had that ability. And there, you can, as a user, you can scan the barcode or on your beer and it'll look it up and Untappd. So we've always had like that kind of abilities like that, and QR code compatibility, but no one ever used it. And now everybody is. So that's been, almost every phone call I have right now, QR codes, either I bring them up or somebody else is like, hey, do you have a QR code? Yep, they're compatible. I mean, they just point to whatever website you want. We can help you build them. You put them onto table tents and no one ever touches. And now, yeah, everyone's phone is your menu, and you're not printing stuff out. It doesn't take any time. You're, like John said, you're on your phone on the Untappd for Business mobile app, typing in the beer you have and hit save. And now anyone that scans a QR code or looks up at your menus, they're seeing all the same with that information. And you're only doing one thing to make that happen. Which is, yeah, again, what John has made a great point. Once you do this as a business, it's very hard to go back to not doing it. Like when you see the other side behind the curtain, if you will, you're like, holy cow, why am I making 5 posts on a bunch of 5 different sites when I could make 1 post on Untappd, and it accomplishes all those things at once and updates all my menus. So it's very cool to see that happen when I watch somebody use Untappd for Business the first time and they add a beer and they're like, okay, now what? I'm like, nope, that's it. You're done. Go do something else. Everything's done.
I think this is the one and only good use for QR codes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Right. I know. I've been trying for years.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's great. My entire life as a designer, it's QR codes are bad, but now it's I see a good use for these. Sure. Yeah.
They were ahead of their time. Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. Like a BlackBerry. Yeah. It's yep. Yep.
We have time to discuss one more thing here, and I wanted to kind of kick it over to you. So are there any other ways that breweries are marketing themselves well through the Untappd platform?
I'll try and buy Harrison some time. but talking about badges, that's... When you think of Untappd, most times I think badges is usually your second thought. Maybe not, but it seems that way. And initially, that was something I was really excited to try and kind of get into from a sales point of view, which was my first and original role at Untappd. But where the crux kind of is it's if for an untapped badge, a lot of times we're talking about regional or countrywide or, you know, a 500-mile radius. So it's really not beneficial to the majority of breweries, especially a self-distributing or smaller brewery, unless you're signed on a multi-state distribution, that badge isn't going to really help promote. I mean, I guess it will help promote, but the person four states over isn't really going to drive all the way out to Wilmington to pick up that beer because of a badge. Some will, as Harrison pointed out, but some will, and it's good marketing, but usually where we see them getting used more effectively is when, this isn't a real life example, but Great Notion is getting ready to open up their first Seattle brewery. So to do like a Pacific Northwest badge and use that to kind of draw attention to the fact that, you know, we've got a bigger distribution footprint now, or larger breweries using badges. We have more recently set it up where you can have what we refer to as a local badge, and you could, you know, we could set this up just at a tap room. And then it kind of gets built more. The local badges themselves have some marketing within the Untappd app, but more often than not, it gets used as kind of a loyalty program. You know, every time I go to check in a beer over at John's Beer Bar, I earn a badge and I level it up. And it's more passive, but again, it appeals, I think, to that very core Untappd user where you're just, mm-hmm. you're getting a arguably maybe even useless digital reward for checking into your beers, but it's also like, it's kind of the fun of it. I love when I check into a beer and I, you know, you get that badge for, you know, straight from the farm or something. I didn't even realize I was close to this one. And it's just that kind of instant feedback and gratification that I think makes badges kind of successful. Harrison, other creative brewery marketing things you've seen?
Yeah, even to take the badges a step further, the local badges, I think they're great. I think, like, I used Untappd before, worked on Untappd, and I always loved the badges. I think I made that clear in the beginning, and I still do. I get a kick out of, like, you know, like a eight badger, like a check-in that unlocks eight badges or whatever. That's, like, amazing, and some weird dopamine release happens when I experience that, and I'm hunting for it each time I check in a beer. So I think Untappd's done a really great job with the local badges in that regard, and that I can open up Untappd right now as a user, and it'll show me local badges near me, and I click on that, and I see how far along I am from this badge to this place and this badge to this place. I need one more beer to get to level 5 over there. Well, I'm going to go grab a beer from them tonight, take it home, and check it in when I get, you know, with dinner, whatever it is, and unlock that badge, because you can have physical incentives tied to local badges. That's up to you as the person who runs the badge, where it could be, you know, yeah, when I check in, every 5 you check in, you get entered in a raffle to win a pint glass or a t-shirt or whatever. Like, you set that up yourself. So it as John said, it works really well as a loyalty program. But it's the game everyone's already playing inside Untappd. So the audience you have is almost immediate, and it's one that's growing, and it's one that's excited and very engaged in the platform, and it gets, as we talked about earlier, gets people coming back again and again. So I love the local badge side of Untappd, and that game that has already always existed. It's just a new level to it. I think it's done really, really well. If I had never worked at Untappd, I would expect something like that to exist inside Untappd, some kind of like treasure hunt I can go on from business to business that I can unlock exclusive badges there. That just sounds like an obvious thing to do, and it's cool that it exists. The other way that I see breweries use Untappd, I mean, there are so many ways using it creatively, are for like beer releases and stuff, making an event inside Untappd. First of all, events, when you add like an event, much like you would on Facebook, Untappd's kind of unique in that they're public. Like, everybody can see that when you click on events near me inside the app. It's going to show you like any event and any verified venue you're close to that's coming up soon. So if you have a beer releasing on Friday and you make an event for it on Wednesday, people are going to see that stuff, not only pop up in their phone if they're following you on Untappd that, hey, we have a beer release in a couple days, but those events are linkable right now. If you are a business that has an online store, or you require people to reserve a spot or call ahead to reserve beers you're releasing, you can link inside an Untappd event to whatever space they need to go to make that reservation, make that order. So now you're a click away. Someone is a click away on their phone from supporting you, and it just makes it that much easier to get the word out to, again, a captive audience. There's this phrase we use a lot of, you know, we want to fish where the fish are. You want to be where all the beer fans are if you're a brewery. And they're, most of them are checking in Untappd. So why not take it a step further and also pop on the face of their phone when you have something they want, an awesome beer. That's, you know, why they like what you guys are doing, because you're making great beer. Perfect. Make sure they don't miss out on every single release you have. And the events are a way we've seen breweries be very creative with Untappd. And that's one of them, just kind of getting the word out about beer releases ahead of time. Make it very easy. If you can't, literally can't have a line outside your brewery right now to every beer release, perfect. You can have a virtual line, a reservation system on your website that Untappd helps promote. And that's been very common from businesses I've talked to recently, of just, again, taking everything virtual. And Untappd has always been kind of a middleman there. And now it's doing even more in that kind of connection between people, your breweries and the people that love what they do. I know. It's fun. It's, I mean, you can go to any city. If you've never been to any a city in the world, like when you're traveling and you show up there, you can open up Untappd and look at like trending beers and find like the IP everyone's drinking or the place everyone's drinking at or whatever it is. If you've never been to a place before, you don't need to. Untappd kind of makes you a local, gives you that snapshot of like, if I'm a beer fan, well, this place has 150 people checking into it right now. You know, in the old, or whatever, you know, hopefully when that, you know, happens again, can happen again. Like, you're like, okay, great. That's where I want to be tonight. That's where I need to go, because clearly something cool is happening there. And here's their menu. And look at that. They just had that cool beer from so-and-so brewery. And you're kind of like, right. It just, before this, I mean, it's kind of one of those things you try to think back to, like, how did I remember the, at any given moment, 1,000 beers I wanted to try from breweries that were releasing beers every day that I get my hands on. I don't know where that went in my head and, you know, how much math I had to forget to store all that information. It's probably most of it, but right. But now it's in my phone. I can forget about it. I just subscribe to that beer and I go with my day, and Untappd says, hey, your local bottle shop got that beer you want. And I go, I forgot about that beer. I'm going to get that tonight and click on the link to get it. It's, you know, it's, granularly, you can get really in the weeds with it, but like high level, it is kind of just does this, it does things that I would expect someone eventually to do in this industry. Make it very easy to find the beer you want, to get it, same time you're supporting business you like, and have that be a fun experience where it's not just like a shopping cart or an online store and that's it. There's like a community behind it and a game inside it with the badges. It kind of makes it something you want to, as a user, keep engaging with. And if you as a business can kind of get into that conversation one way or another, where the conversation's already happening, it can get really cool.
And to Harrison's credit, I'm pretty sure since he began doing sales at Untappd, like any business that he's talking to that has, again, air quotes, like a really exciting beer selection, Harrison will usually kind of go above and beyond and make sure when that business first comes on live with Untappd and they publish their beer menu, he'll set up where like pretty much any Untappd user nearby, if they check into a beer, even now during COVID, if they check into a beer at home, they'll get, you know, a pop-up, hey, we got a new business in your area that publishes their beer menu online. And again, I think that's the most valuable thing we do, is just make it easy for people to find the beer they're looking for.
That's it. No more searching for it. Go find it now.
Well, John and Harrison, I appreciate your time talking about Untappd. I think you can always find new and interesting ways that people use a platform like Untappd. If anyone wants to learn more and check out the Drinking Socially Untappd podcast, or learn more about Untappd, where would you like to point people?
The easiest way to get in touch with pretty much all of those links, just head to podcasts.untappd.com. And that'll set you right up with all the episodes we've ever done, as well as our social media links as well.
Yep. Yeah, we're more and more active on Twitter at That Beer Podcast. And you can find John and I on Untappd. My handle is Harry Beer Beard. So H-A-R-R-Y Beer Beard. And John's is Untappd John. Am I right?
That's my handle for everything. Yep.
That's right. Yeah. I'm glad I could. That would have been bad if I forgot that. Yeah, so you can follow us there and see our goofy check-ins. And I mostly take pictures of my dogs when I check in beer, so don't be confused. You're in the right spot if you see that.
So you guys are doing a 101 educational series where you're discussing getting me on to do an episode.
Yeah,
on packaging and branding. Do you want to give a little background about your 101 series there?
Oh, yeah. John, where are we? Yeah. So you're, John, you go ahead. Yeah, you break
it down. We just completed the Beer 101 series is kind of become part of the podcast and maybe our favorite part. So the first we did, we talked about hops exclusively, why they're, you know, a mandatory ingredient in most beers. Malt, we covered water, and then we just covered yeast. And then our next episode coming up is going to be kind of how to source materials or the different places to source materials from. I can't think of anybody better to have on kind of the Beer 101 when we kind of talk about packaging and marketing than you, Ryan. I'd love to, let's make that happen.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, so keep an ear out and an eye out. That might be coming out then early November, that episode with Untapped. But John and Harrison, appreciate your time and thanks for joining the show.
Thank you, Ryan. It's been great.